so long for this night to come. Emmanuel, God is with us. We sing with the angels that love has arrived. The gift of this holy child.
Scripture comes from Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord." When the angel had left them, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has told us about." When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child.
I'd like to share with you this morning another message on the subject, "Tell Me." And I'd like to call our attention back to that scripture passage that Brother Curtis read, found in Luke chapter 2, continuing from actually the passage of scripture we looked at last week, the true Christmas story, if you will. And I'd like for us to look at another subject, and one the same subject, but a different angle on the subject, the told telling. The told telling. Now, I can remember a time I didn't like to be told anything. Does anybody remember a time like that in your life? Is there anybody here that still doesn't like to be told? Okay, I see a few honest people out there. Probably every one of us. Certainly we don't like to be told off, do we? Now, it feels good to tell somebody else off, of course, and that's all right. But generally speaking, we're of a race that doesn't like to be told things. Why, when I was a boy, I had a thick head. Now, of course, now the head is coming through. But Brother Curtis, too. But I didn't like to be told anything. And when I got to be a teen, I was even worse. And it took me quite a while to realize that sometimes I need to be told. And sometimes I need to just listen to what I'm being told because I don't know everything. And my life would really be a mess, more of a mess than it is, if I did not listen to advice. But this morning I want to look at with you at those who were told good news. Now, we generally like to be told good news, although sometimes we, you know, may even have a tolerance, a limit of our tolerance, because we just don't like to be told things. Well, here are some people. They're actually, I think, the unsung heroes of the Christmas story. Now, we've all sung about the Christmas angels. They've gotten a lot of press, more than any other person, perhaps, in the Christmas story. Save for Santa and the reindeer, of course, which isn't really a part of the real Christmas story. But here are some people that are not very famous. In fact, we don't even know their names. They were shepherds. And they were told about this unique child that was born in Bethlehem. And they did something when they were told. They responded to that being told by telling others. So I want us to think about the told telling. Sometimes we need to be told so that we can tell others and pass it on. Tell me is the theme of our international missions emphasis this month. And I believe that people do want to be told good news. They want to be told about Jesus. And it is our privilege and certainly our responsibility who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior to tell others about Him. Hear the told or telling. And may we follow their example. What was their example? Well, let's look at the scripture passage again. It says there were shepherds. This is in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. There were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, I don't know a lot about raising sheep. Now, maybe some of you do. But I know it's a very responsible position. I know that they needed to be where they were at that time. But it was not one of the more glamorous jobs. And we may wonder, well, why did God choose these people, these humble shepherds, in this really out-of-the-way corner of the world to be the first to hear about the birth of His Son? Well, perhaps because they were ready to listen. Perhaps because they were ready to be told this good news. We don't know, but certainly they were humble enough to recognize that they didn't know it all and that they needed something in their life that was missing or someone. And so we're told that the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. Don't be afraid, a voice came. I bring you good tidings of great joy today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. So they listened. I think that's the first thing that we need to do, the first response that we need to make to what we are told in the Bible about Jesus. We need to listen. Because frankly, we're not very good listeners. We all have selective hearing. Now I'm told the less fair sex is the less or the most prone to selective hearing. I don't know that that's true. Well, I can talk about things that I'm interested in to the opposite sex, and I'm married to one, of course. And that person, I'm not the least bit interested in football. Well, she doesn't know the first thing about, a pass play or football or auto mechanics. Some women do. I don't want to stereotype the ladies that are here this morning because I'm married to one. But I think that we're all afflicted with selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. We hear things that we're interested in hearing. And the things that we're not interested in hearing, why, it just goes in one ear and out the other. I don't even think it comes in the ear sometimes. It just kind of goes over the head. Sometimes my wife will tell me something, and I never even thought she was talking. And I think the same, I would have to say, my little sweetheart, that you do the same thing sometimes. Because we hear what we want to hear, don't we? We have selective hearing. Well, here the shepherds listened. And how did they listen? Well, they listened with reverence. It says that they were afraid. Now, who wouldn't be afraid? We have the UFO phenomenon. And I haven't seen a UFO up here yet, but I'm told that they're up here. That they inhabit this area, that they're kind of interested in. I don't know, maybe because it's an out-of-the-way place. Well, I don't know about UFOs, but I do know that there is a God. And I do know that He has revealed Himself to men, to people. And here is an example. I haven't had that happen. I haven't had a light come at night and a voice from heaven. Now, this wasn't a UFO. I don't think they saw a ship. I don't think they heard the whirling noises or whatever accompanies UFO sightings. They certainly didn't see little green people or whatever aliens look like. Oh, you've seen them, have you, Ed, years ago before you gave it up. Yeah, you remember that. So you think that's what's behind the UFO phenomenon? It could be. I wouldn't disagree with you. But they listened with reverence, didn't they? They were afraid. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise, then begin to revere the Lord. Fear Him. Realize that there is a God and you're not God. And humble yourself before Him as these shepherds did. But not only was there a reverence, there was a reliance. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Paul goes on to say in that same passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 10, he says, have they not heard? Yes, truly, their sound went out into all the earth and their words to the end of the world. But it's because we have selective hearing that we don't hear sometimes what God wants to say to us. But here, the shepherds relied upon the Word of God. They trusted in the Word of God. They believed that it was God speaking to them. I think because there was something that resonated in their heart that made them know that this was not just an illusion, or that they weren't seeing UFOs or some other weird things, but they were hearing the voice of God. Trust in what God has said in His Word. Put it to the test. See if it does not pass the test of your faith. Some things are not worthy of faith. But here is something that is worthy of our complete reliance. And they relied upon what they listened to. But they also listened with respondents. I'm not sure that's a word. But they responded to what they were told. They were decisive. In verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds sat down and talked about it and decided the next day that they might go over there to Bethlehem. No, it doesn't say that. It says they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Now, you might be thinking, well, what else did they have to do? Well, they were shepherds. They had a responsibility. They were responsible, I'm sure, in their shepherding duties. But they heard something that made them realize that delay was out of the question. And so they responded with haste. They were decisive. They were determined. And they were dispatched. They went with haste, we're told, to see what God had told them about. This child born in a manger. Graveyards are full of good intentions, aren't they? I've known of people who all their life said, well, I know I need to be saved. I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. I don't have anything against God. But apparently they didn't have much for God because they didn't allow Christ into their life. In that time of death, the Bible says it's an appointment that we must all keep, overtook them. Hell is full of those with good intentions. But here, the shepherds did not allow good intentions to keep them from doing what they knew they should do. It was like an invitation. You know, at the end of our services, we're Baptists, so, and others do this too, but we think that that there should be an invitation time because it gives people an opportunity to respond. Well, these shepherds responded. They came. They listened, first of all. But also they looked. Here it says in the same passage that the shepherds said to one another in verse 15, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. So they listened. But they also looked. The tragedy of Christmas is that many do not follow the example of the shepherds. They don't really take time to think, well, what's Christmas all about anyway? Is it just about Santa and the reindeers and giving reindeer, I believe? I think there's just one. No, there's 10 in there. I don't know how many there are. Is it reindeers or reindeer? I think it's reindeer.
I think that's reindeer.
Reindeer is plural? Okay. I know we got a teacher here. I don't want to. Joanne, you would know. Reindeers, right? Okay. Well, they looked. They didn't wait. They didn't wait to, I guess, have a photograph. Photography hadn't been invented. But they wanted to go and find for themselves whether what they had been told was true. I love what John writes, the Apostle John, in the first epistle of John, in his first letter. He said, "That which was from the beginning, who we have heard and whom our eyes have seen and whom we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." See, John knew because he had taken the time to look upon Jesus, to find out if Jesus was really who the Scripture claims that He is, the Son of God. And he says, "Our hands have handled and we have looked upon Him and we have found Him to be faithful and true." Well, the shepherds looked. And many people today, they'll look all around at other things at the Christmas time, go to the malls, and we don't have them here, but they'll go 50 miles or 100, I guess 100 miles to the nearest mall and see all the beautiful decorations. We love to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not implying that there's anything wrong with that. But there are many who will not take the time to do as you are doing here this morning. You have come to this place because I believe you want to see Jesus. You want to know Him in your life and in your heart. You want to know more about Him. You have already begun to look upon Him and to see His beauty. And you want to know more of Jesus and have more of Jesus in your life. So they looked with motivation. We have an expression, seeing is believing. And at Christmas time, people will go hundreds of miles to see lighting displays and other sights. But the motivation of the shepherds was to see Jesus. And if we just think, well, you know, this is the season of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And this is the season of love and of giving. And it teaches us how to give. Well, yes, it does. But where is the source? Where is the source of that? Well, it's in Christ. God giving His only begotten Son for us. And if we fail to look upon Jesus, then we've missed the whole meaning of Christmas. So they looked with motivation. They wanted to know. They wanted to see Jesus. And they looked with meditation. In John chapter 1, that same verse, he says, "We have looked upon Him which is from the beginning. And we have seen Him with our eyes. And we have handled Him. Our hands have handled the word of life." And that word that's translated looked upon means to view attentively or to contemplate or to meditate upon. They wanted to know more about what they were told. Have you given to Jesus or given Jesus more than a casual or curious glance? But have you gazed upon Him? Have you taken the time to read about Him in the Scriptures, to know more about Him, to know all that you can about Him? That's what I believe motivated the shepherds with meditation, with motivation. But also, and I know this isn't a word part, excuse me for that, Joanne and others, other of you English majors, marvelation. It's got to be an M, so that's why. But with marvelation, they marveled, didn't they? They marveled. I'm sure they did. Well, it doesn't really say that they did, but it says that they came and saw where the baby was. And of course, all of the pictures, I think we have a manger scene back there, show the shepherds how they gazed with wonder at this child. But there was a wonder, wasn't there? They wondered, I'm sure, as they saw the manger and its condition. and the condescension of the one who lay in that manger, the baby Jesus, the one born, the Son of God. And I love what Paul said about that when he said in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." And I'm sure that being Jewish, they must have known the scripture that said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And so they were looking into the face of God as they looked at that little child. And I want to encourage you to look upon Jesus. To take the time at this Christmas season to read again the story, not only of his birth, but of his life. And learn and want to know all you can about this Jesus. Because everything that we can know about God wrapped up in that present that God gave to us, the gift of his Son. But also they left. The scripture says when they had seen him, they spread the word about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherd said. So they listened, they looked. But obviously they left. It may not be that obvious. But certainly they did. I mean, it's obvious. It may seem kind of dumb because it's so obvious. But I don't think it's dumb. Because there are those who want to keep Jesus in manger, don't they? And they love the Christmas story about the little baby, the beautiful little baby born in a manger and sung so beautifully. And the poets have wrote so beautifully of that babe in the manger. But that babe, of course, was born with a tender brow, prepared for thorn. As I read last week, I don't have the poem before me, but the poem, little poem last week about Welcome to Our World, written by Chris Rice, speaks of that tender brow prepared for thorn. He was born to die, wasn't he? He was born to be a sacrificial lamb, to lay down his life for you and me, so that our sins might be forgiven. Now they didn't stick around. But rather they left with purpose. What if the shepherds went back to their friends and relatives and only talked about peace on earth and the brotherhood of man? Or, what beautiful, what an awesome sight those angels are up there. And how beautifully they sang. Well, they may have talked a little bit about that, but that wasn't their focus, was it? That wasn't their purpose. No, they went, it says here, and told everyone they heard about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherd said. I think I remember when Peter and James and John went up the mountain later with Jesus. And there they saw Jesus as he was in his true nature, his Godhood. He was transfigured before him, the Bible says. And they saw that here was more than a man. Here was God. And I think they had never quite seen him like that. Well, I'm sure they had never seen him like that before. But do you remember what Peter said? He said, "Lord, it's good for us that we were here. Because now we can build a tabernacle for you and for Moses and Elijah." Because Jesus had been talking with Moses and Elijah there on that mountain. And so they wanted to stay there on that mountain. They wanted to make Jesus kind of a fixture on that mountain, kind of like the Christ of the Andes. I love the sculpture. I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures of it in Rio de Janeiro. But that's not the Christ that we know. That's not what our job is, to build monuments or to build tabernacles, to build shrines. But rather our job is to tell the good news of Jesus. As the shepherds did. They left with purpose. They left with praise. Now doesn't it say here that it says that they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told? They left with praise. They went, I think, singing, worshiping the Lord, lifting Him up, glorifying His name with joy. And that's what we're to do, isn't it? I think Christmas is a time of joy. Because our Savior has come. And the Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Speaking of of those who are Christians. A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And I believe that God is moving His people to praise Him today. I know in the past we maybe praised in different ways, but I think now the time has come where we need to just be open in our praise of the Lord. And I know we have some inhibitions, and we certainly don't want to offend anyone, but we want to. I think it's more important that we not want to offend God. And so we need to worship. We need to praise Him as the shepherds did. I think that they were unashamed. I think that they didn't care if people thought that they were strange. Or maybe thought that they had seen something over there that just affected their minds. And, kind of like the way we think of people who've seen UFOs. And maybe you're one. Yes, I hear one out there. But I don't think that they cared about that. I don't think they cared what people thought. They left with praise. They left with purpose. But they also left with power. People wondered as they heard. Do we make people wonder? Do we make people want to know more about Jesus? Later Jesus said, of course, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Well, we have the Holy Spirit now, don't we? So we don't have any excuse. The shepherds may have had an excuse, but we don't. But here they left with power. I think that's the power of a personal testimony. And there's nothing more powerful in the area of witness than personal testimony. Because they had seen Jesus. They had worshipped Him. They had heard the Word of God telling about Him. And they had found it all to be true about Jesus. Let me ask you, have you been told? Told the good news of Jesus? And have you listened? Have you looked and learned about Jesus? And then have you left to tell others?
We finally found the source of our help. Messiah and our Redeemer, this baby that's born to us is King of Kings, the reason creation sings. On this Christmas night of miracles, on this Christmas night of joy, we rejoice that heaven has brought us our Lord and Savior of life on this trip.